congratulations to all the presenters. I was struck there that it sometimes seems that when we have a booming economy, it's okay to have a shredded social fabric. And now that the chief practitioner of that approach is pretty much bankrupt, it will be interesting to see if people do focus on having a booming social economy. Because clearly they haven't got the other one right. We're going to go to questions. Again, I would encourage any listeners online to submit questions to seproject@msvu.ca. And we'll now ask people with questions to approach the microphone. And before you ask your question, please identify yourself so that the online listeners know who you are. Any questions or comments?
Hi, my name is Satya Raman. I'm from Nova Scotia. I work with Jude. I'm part of Subnode 3. My question is maybe not a question. It's sort of a general comment or observation building on a couple of themes from this presentation or this panel and then the one earlier to do with collaboration, bridging, building, etc. The portrait or picture of the social economy that was presented now has to do with a lot of different organizations coming together towards a, maybe it's not so much of a movement, but a different pieces of the puzzle. And the thing that strikes me as a community organization is that collaboration is valued and desired but never funded or built in terms of capacity. And so I guess I would throw the question out there is that if we're going to be moving our agenda with this forward and continuing with this notion of connections and bridging and building, how can we work to better support and create capacity for organizations to actually engage in that, to collaborate, to partner, to do that? I don't know who can answer.
Anybody like to respond to that one?
The room who could respond to that in a concrete way. Jean-Marc mentioned some in a sense little but important ways of connecting through portals and that sort of thing. But the fact remains that unless we are able to support the time and the efforts that people put into collaboration and also prevent our policies from dividing and creating competition, then we're going to be stymied in our efforts. I think one of the things that may be able to come out of the network is as we talk to the rest of the day and tomorrow, our ideas on how to take the dissemination part of what we're doing to model some of the positive consequences of collaboration in its various forms, so that people may see some concrete examples of how one might achieve it. I think, too, in our next session on communication, we'll talk about some of the challenges of collaboration just at that level. You know, how do we actually communicate with one another in our busy lives and, you know, with the challenges of technology and so on. But it's absolutely fundamental, the question that you're asking.
One of the things that was talked about in the interviews was valuation. So one of the things, once you enter the social economy and social enterprise and you're talking about fee for service, you want to move to a more of a enterprising organization, and you want to say, you know, I'll deliver this service for so much. We tend to devalue ourselves. One of the things that we know right now, most places in Atlantic Canada, it was kind of proven again by Penny's work, is that government doesn't fund a hell of a lot, and especially the management of organizations. And it's the management of organizations, that's where you're going to have the collaboration, those managers collaborating with other managers and EDs and so on, even project officers and stuff like that. And if we don't value, if we don't say that to deliver this product or service is going to cost this much, and we don't put a high enough value on that, we will not have money for collaboration and management and so on. We will deliver a service, barely, and that's what we tend to do. So there's a lot of work there.
question and please introduce.
Hello, this is Luc Thériault from the University of New Brunswick and Subnode 1. I want to thank all the panelists, and in particular Leslie, because I think you really help us in saying that we can live with some ambiguity. You know, as you said, we're not totally sure what a democracy is, but we know it's better to live in one than in a dictatorship. And we're not totally sure what a family is, but, you know, many of us want to have one or have good the relation with our family members. So, you know, the definition of the social economy, you know, is a little bit the same. We'll never agree on one paragraph that is the definition, but we know that there's structural element to it. You know, some are non-profit, some are charitable, some are voluntary based. So there's element to any definition that will relate to the structural arrangement, the legal status. But we know that at the same time, this is not enough, that we need to have issues of values on the other hand. You know, values of democracy, of partnership, of participation. And, you know, probably a good definition of the social economy in a way, you know, is one that managed to mix and match issues of structure with issues of values. And I think that's what we're trying to do. And I think that in Quebec, where I originally came from, they were on this, and Jean-Marc could tell us about this, they had this debate about the definition for a long, long time, I want to say that I'm comfortable with living with some ambiguity and moving forward.
Good morning, I'm Rosemary Herbert from UPEI. Can you hear me okay? Just wanted to thank all the presenters and to comment particularly about the research process in the social economy. I mean, I enjoyed your presentation very much. And I just wanted to reinforce really the importance of empowerment, particularly in relation to our community partners. And I think when we're doing research in the community, we really need to work from an empowerment perspective. Can't hear me?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I basically wanted to talk about the value of empowerment and to really work from an empowerment perspective when we're doing research with community partners. And certainly, Omer, you spoke to that. And I think it's critical that we recognize that everyone does bring expertise to the table. The researchers bring a particular expertise. The community members bring another expertise. And it's so important that we recognize that. And I'm sure that everyone does. But it just, you know, comes to the forefront when I hear us talking about research. The other issue is the whole area of sustainability. And I think, you know, looking at partnering with our community partners and organizations, it is important to think about the ethics of sustainability. So when we initiate projects with people, I think it's so critical that we look at the issue of sustainability and try to build that in right from the beginning, so that the momentum that's created when we engage with community partners will be sustained after the research phase has ended. So those are really just comments that I wanted to put forward. And thank you very much for your presentation.
Any comments on the comments? Or no. And Jean-Marc.
So I'll go there.
Okay. John
Mark
is been losing his voice.
Yeah, I'm running after my voice since 3 days now. So in reality, the problem is not the problem of a definition. It's a problem of willing. What kind of society do we want? And in 1995, women in Quebec went in the streets and they have a big walk. And out of the walk, they call it du pain et des roses, bread and roses. And out of the walk came out the idea of a social economy organization. And then they set up the organization. And there was not a clear definition at that time. But they said it's important to change. It's important to have the economy that becomes more human. And it's important for women to be incorporated in the economy and to not to be poor like the situation of women was. So I think if we will, then after we will debate about the definition and so on. And my question is, Are you willing in the Atlantic to have a social economy organization like an umbrella that will help you? Either you are from the not-for-profit or for the co-op or for the mutuals or for other kind of association. Are you ready to belong to the same kind of umbrella and said, we have one cause and we have one cible, target, is to change the main liberal economy, because otherwise things will not change by itself.
And for our online listeners, that was Jean-Marc Fonte. And could you introduce yourself, David?
David Upton, I'm from Nova Scotia. Seth made a really good point. There's been a lot of good points, obviously, but the idea of undervaluing the social economy, I don't know how many of you have seen, but one of the measurements of the social economy, it's not a perfect one by any stretch, but it's an interesting one, is Statistics Canada did a study that they released last spring, and I'm going to try to do this from memory, so although I have it on my desktop, so I'll confirm it. The social economy, excluding hospitals and universities in Canada, represented, and I think the year was 2005, I might be wrong, represented 2.5% of the gross domestic product of this country. Now, the interesting thing about that is that that exceeded the contribution of to GDP of the automotive industry and of agriculture. And the thing that we should remember in listening to some of the other speakers is that when we look at the contributions to the social economy that are effectively unpaid contributions and, you know, goodwill and all those kinds of things, the contribution to the economy, because this is just in paid value of the economy, is an astounding number. And one that when you consider that what Seth said is true, is that for the most part, the contributions to the social economy tend to be undervalued. I think that that's true. It already has that sort of groundswell. We just need to sort of, I don't know what the word is, I guess make people be aware that this is where we live. I mean, this is where communities live and people live, and that it is a big number, and one that if you're people who are going to be talking to policymakers, they can't ignore that. They wouldn't ignore the automotive industry, you know, and this is bigger than that.
Thanks, David. And the next question.
It's Annie, and I'm just going to speak on behalf of myself, not of a Canadian social economy hub, but it's always puzzled me in the social economy sector, and because I come from many, many years working as a practitioner, is that we're very ambivalent about belonging to the sector and about actually supporting all other organizations in the sector. And so one of the questions I've often wanted to ask is how many of the social economy organizations that we work with actually use fair trade coffee or preferentially give their support to other social enterprises or to other social economy organizations with their purchasing power. Because we're involved at the moment in trying to get municipalities and provincial and federal government to pass procurement regulations that empower social economy organizations to have access to the purchasing power of these organizations. But that is a question that I often ask myself. And so I appreciate the discussions around definition and who we are, because I think the first thing we need to do is to maintain some kind of solidarity among ourselves, and then we can go outside and ask and then look at the other sector. The other question also I've been puzzled about it is our reliance on corporate donations. And I was glad, in a way, to see how low it was in Atlantic Canada, because if we're dependent on the corporate sector to fund the social economy, like, so what kind of ambivalence does that create? You know, and so I don't have any answers, but I would like to see some discussion on that, if possible.
I guess I have a question that relates to a previous piece of research around the contribution of corporations. So would corporations include, for instance, cooperatives like Mountain Equipment Co-op, which of course is a corporate body?
I don't know if Mountain Equipment Co-op specifically was in there. The questions were posed to organizations, David, and the organizations reported what percentage of their revenues were for corporations.
Okay. Just I'm wondering, when we talk about corporate support, of course, many, many businesses in Atlantic Canada, as Luke pointed out, are cooperatives. So we could argue as to whether they're corporate or whether they're in the social economy. Sorry, that was me intervening. Next question, please, or comment. Okay.
About organizations receiving corporate donations or going out to seek them or whatever, I think I've always been the person who says I would never do that. Like, for instance, we've never gone and approached the Irving Empire for any money. We've kept it flat as far as how we get money. But at the same time, you know, the devil's advocate would say, in order to engage and change, you have to bring them in. And so the what we really need to do is what you had raised around, like, for instance, fair trade, is how do we get Just Us Coffee in every or something of that nature in our social enterprises, but also in the corporate office environments, and how do we engage around issues of democracy and pollution that's created by big industry and so on. So I think we have a huge role in that. Again, though, it comes back to this idea of how much time on the ground do we have if you're not an advocate organization. So there are producers of services like ourselves, and then there's advocate organizations. That's their mandate. And we like to partner with them, but certainly on our own, to actually do that is like a huge amount of work. It's not that I don't think that we don't want to engage in that. It's just that we don't have the time. You know? But I think we should. And I think that the point about the coffee, it's a very, very specific point, but I like it. And I see it often, like we walk in and there's coffee and there's Maxwell House or whatever, and it kind of pisses me off because, you know, we have good alternatives right now. And that's a simple, maybe we should just do one focused drive on coffee.
All right. Yes, I can see there are coffee lovers in the room. I work with the Canadian General Standards Board, Abed, and I was thinking as Seth was speaking there that a number of people in the room were involved in the social accounting training that went on some years ago at the Tatum and Goose Center and elsewhere. And of course, there are international standards organizations. And one of the things I try to do is to inject some social economy values into that international standards organization mix. Because if you do want to change the large corporate world, then they like to have baselines, they like to have measurements. It's a competitive world. They like to, you know, get the qualification and the certificate on the wall. So that's, I think, sometimes something that we don't perhaps put enough attention to. Peter.
Yeah, I don't have a question, but just a comment. I was waiting for somebody else to ask questions, but since they weren't, I thought I'd come and make the comment. First, the comments around the whole issue about working together, collaborating. I actually chair the Canadian Community Investment Network Co-op, and I work as a staff person, have worked as a staff person or volunteer with the Canadian Worker Co-op Federation for, oh, by the way, I'm Peter Huff again, forget, for about 20 years. And both of them are basically organizations that are trying to bring together social economy organizations, and it's a huge challenge. The issue that was raised in terms of funding for that, it's virtually impossible to get funding for it. That's a little exaggeration, but not a whole lot. And part of that is fundamentally because they are networking organizations. That if you're looking for money, you're not working in a local community. You're not delivering a service in a local community. When you start doing fundraising, it's a much, much harder, pitch to kind of make. So having resources targeted for that kind of thing is incredibly important because a huge amount of effort goes into that. The other side is that for the organizations within those organizations, it's a challenge for the organizations to be relevant. You know, Seth made the distinction between an advocacy organization and one that's providing services. If we're going to have umbrellas, in some sense, advocacy is one of the services that they're providing. But it's, you know, again, in the worker co-op sector or even in the community finance sector, that's really not enough to justify the time and effort of low-resourced organizations to really actively participate. So there's a real challenge in terms of bringing groups together to have more than advocacy and have the resources not just at the umbrella level, but at the local level. So just a comment about that. And then the last comment is, I'm not impressed that we're 2.5%. That's a very small number. That means there's like 97.5% that isn't the social economy. So if we're asking why aren't we buying fair trade coffee, it's because there's, you know, it's 2.5% of the coffee that's on the marketplace. And so I think in terms of if we want to transform the economy, if we want to do something, I think we have to recognize that there's a huge kind of task to do here. It's not a little task. And so, you know, that was just a flip side of saying, yes, I think from a policy perspective, it's yes, we can go argue with the government that they should deal with us because we're as important or more important than the auto sector. But if we look at in terms of what we're trying to accomplish on the broader pace, I think it just shows us that there's a huge amount of work we have to do.
Thank you. Leslie.
I just wanted to speak to the measurement question, because one of the projects, Elizabeth Hicks isn't here, she's presenting at another conference right now, but she'll be back later. And she and colleagues in Subnode 5 presented to the International Standards Board in London around the issue of generally accepted accounting principles and the problem of those principles for cooperatives. And she and I and some others are, Sonia and some others again in Subnode 5 are also doing research around, questions of how do you measure and report on, the social qualities and contributions of your organization. And, one of the avenues I think that we have as an inroad is the incredible buzz around corporate social responsibility. And what we're finding is even some of the big international standards organizations looking at social auditing and social reporting and social accounting are actually starting to develop tools that are more appropriate now for nonprofits, for cooperatives, and so on. And we're working in some of our research projects with those and with community-based organizations, mainly cooperatives, that are trying to find ways to measure and report on what they're doing. But that helps build common cause as well, because as a sector, if you want to call us that, in the social economy, we do better with corporate, or we can do better with corporate social responsibility.
Before our next question, do we have anything online from...
No.
Okay, great. So, Rupert, could you introduce yourself?
Thank you. It's Rupert Downing. I'm co-director of the Canadian Social Economy Hub, and I really appreciated Leslie's focus musings on how the social economy, looking at the social economy as a platform for mobilization, for the insertion of the social and democracy into the economy. And so at the national level, I think what we're grappling with at the Hub is turning the ship, turning the research into exactly that, a platform in public policy research of mobilization of actors in the social economy, mobilizing around what they can do together to advance the social economy in public policy in Canada. And so I'm wondering from the panel's point of view, you know, what might some of the possibilities be for the next period, this final half of the grant from SHRC, to use the research in public policy or in other ways to help to really mobilize that platform here in Atlantic Canada. I wonder if there are any ideas or suggestions that people have.
There have to be some ideas.
I'm conscious of the time, too. People are probably hungry and wanting their watch. In part, that's what these two days, I guess, are about, because on Sunday, our workshop, divided up into the four themes, are going to be looking at how to mobilize our knowledge, and one of the areas we'll be looking at, A, the research that actually explicitly deals with policy, and B, the research that people are engaged in that has implications for the development of public policy, areas where public policy is needed of one sort or another. I'm losing my train of thought here. The other is that we're working toward a policy conference in the fall with the Quebec node and with parts of the northern node who are doing research in Nunavik, in northern Quebec, and in Labrador, where again we're going to be dialoguing directly with the policy shapers that come to the conference and bringing the results of our work as a collectivity to that conference. That's another concrete way. What's going to happen after the 5 years is a huge problem, and I guess everybody here knows that there was supposed to be a three-legged stool, and we only have a one-legged stool. The three legs were to be capacity building, financing, and research, and there were considerable resources that had been allocated in those three areas, and we've been told that not only, of course, do the other two legs not exist, but there's a certain co-optation of language going on, that we're not supposed to use the term social economy. We're not even, heaven forbid, use the term capacity building. So the challenge of building a platform after the 5 years is a big one.
I think what I'm going to do is you all need to stretch and they need to set up for lunch. So I'd like to thank our presenters and you need to... Excellent. Thanks. And for our listeners online, if you haven't gathered by the rumbling chairs, that's the end of the audio cast. Thanks a lot for participating. Thanks to our technicians, and let's hope it's all recorded for posterity. Thanks.